This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the amazing Jessica Kellgren
Fozard.
I knew I'd get it wrong. From Jessica Out of the Closet, which is an amazing YouTube channel where you talk about your life, you talk about your sexuality. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, it's a channel that I kind of started way back when doing film reviews that no one ever watched.
Okay.
And then I used to get quite a lot of online hate, I guess.
Oh, no.
Because I have an invisible disability.
Sure.
And I'm deaf, but I don't sound deaf. And I was like, no, you know what? I'm just going to make videos about my life and about living with disabilities and also having an amazing wife.
Yes, which is amazing. How long have you guys been together?
Happy We've been together for 3.5 years. We've been married for 1.5 years.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah.
I know. It's quite difficult this evening being apart. We're one of these really sad couples. We follow each other from room to room.
You could have brought her with you. She could have sat under the desk and held your hand.
I know. No, we're never more than 1 meter apart. It's ridiculous.
That's beautiful. That's goals for me. That's everything I want in life.
Thank you. We got engaged after 4 months.
That's eager. That's really, really eager.
Yeah, but it was slow by my family standards. Okay. My grandparents got married 3 weeks to the day they met.
So. Oh my gosh. So you were really, really slow to the mark.
I mean, what were we doing with all that time? Dragging our heels.
So going back to what you were saying about when you started your channel doing, was it film reviews you said?
Yeah.
And you started getting hate. And that was to do with you and your disability, your sexuality. Like, where was that coming from?
It was a lot to do with... Obviously, I would talk on my Instagram just about, like, oh, having quite a hard day with my disability today. Yeah. Like, my chronic fatigue is really bad, or bits of me aren't working. I'd have shots where I'm, like, sometimes in a wheelchair and sometimes I'm on crutches. And it, for some reason, seems very hard for people to understand that a person can need a wheelchair one day and be walking the next.
Yes.
To a lot of people, that just seems to read as, oh, my gosh, it's fake.
Yeah.
It's all fake. No one really...
Is that what people would say? They would accuse you of making this
up? Yeah, they would. And then when I built more of an online presence and I've made this community that I'm so grateful for on YouTube and on Instagram, and they are the sweetest people. Mm. And now I don't get any of that hate at all, ever. Yeah. It's just people who are like, it's okay, I completely understand, I have the same thing, I also feel like this. And it's a really nice atmosphere to be able to share that. A lot of disabled people don't necessarily know anyone else with disabilities. Yes. So it's great to be online and able to share that.
I do think the online community is amazing for that. I don't know if you know a YouTuber called Hannah Witten.
Yeah.
And she recently got a stoma.
Yeah.
And she thought, you know, that she felt like she was the only person in the world living with this, and then she came out about it online and started talking about it online, and suddenly she found this community of hundreds of people who were also living with a stoma, and suddenly they're all there and all talking. And I think that's amazing, because I think finding people with a disability, finding people with the same disability as you, finding people that you can talk to about that must be really difficult in real life.
And especially if it's an invisible thing, like you know, you've got a stoma bag, it's sort of tucked away, no one knows. With my deafness, for instance, I went deaf late in my teens. I don't sound deaf. I wasn't able to sign before that.
Yeah.
And you find yourself really stuck in between two communities. There's the deaf world, where a lot of people have, maybe they went to deaf school or they sign a lot, and they all, a lot of people tend to know each other, but you feel like you don't really fit in.
Yes.
And then you've got the hearing world, which is just like the main world that everyone else is in. And you feel like you don't fit in there either.
Sure.
And then by talking about it, and my most watched video is actually Why I Don't Sound Deaf.
Yeah.
And a lot of people underneath are like, this is me. This is exactly my problem.
Oh, no way.
I have this all the time. I have my mouth and talk to someone and they talk back to me and I'm like, I'm really sorry. I know I sound like I understand this, but I have no clue. I do not know what is happening right now. Please help me.
Sure.
And it was great to just find other people who were in exactly the same situation.
Absolutely. A few years ago, I went to this amazing night. It was a nightclub that they put on in East London. I don't know if you ever heard about this. And they did a nightclub specifically for deaf people. I went along to it. A friend was doing the PR for it. So he said, you know, you should come along and just see it because it's going to be an incredible event. And they had music playing, but in order to help the deaf people experience the music, they had a vibrating dance floor. Mm. They had screens playing all different kinds of visuals. They had people dancing to the music. And they even had, instead of a DJ, they had an aroma jockey pumping out all these different smells.
Oh my gosh.
And every now and then, like a sweet or something would flash up on the screen and you were given a bag of sweets and told when to eat them. So it was really like trying to synthesize the music through all of your other senses.
My God, that sounds amazing.
It was absolutely incredible. And again, seeing so many people coming together. And I was like, very ignorantly, I was like, I didn't realize there were this many deaf people, but there was this, you know, hundreds of them there all having an amazing time. It was incredible.
It's a really huge population, actually. I think I'm right in saying that the majority of people classed as disabled, even though not all deaf people class themselves as disabled, are deaf. And it's definitely something that we as a country need to get better on, because obviously as people age, they tend to go deafer.
Sure.
So people think that, oh, it's not an issue that, you know, affects my life in any way right now, but it probably will be.
One day in the future.
Yes. Yeah. So it's always good to educate yourself on things now.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't do any sign language or anything like that, and I'm not sure that I know anyone who can. Do you think, like, it would be better if that was more of a standard thing?
I think it would be great if BSL could be recognised as one of the languages, the main languages of the UK,
yeah.
and taught in schools. I think it should be taught in schools. I think it's far more useful to be able to communicate with people in your country who can't communicate with you any other way,
yes.
than to learn, like, here's a vague bit of French for when you go on holiday sometimes. Like, oh, thank you, I've forgotten it now.
Yeah, I've the only time I've ever used, like, the foreign language skills that I've learned is when I meet a guy who is of that nationality, and I try and impress them by doing my
j'habite
à la montagne, I live in the mountains. Not
excellent.
Useful. Not
just
useful.
Just what he needs to know. But I think actually maybe more than people learning BSL, it's just learning the basics of helping someone to communicate
yes.
with you. So knowing things about lip reading, like keeping your hands away from your mouth, talking slowly but not too slowly, don't over enunciate, but also don't mumble. Don't have a beard.
No beards.
No, just don't do it. Don't
Absolutely.
Do it. Moustaches, beards, no go.
So how am I doing right now? Am I letting you down?
I mean, you're pretty good. I'm leaning in a really odd angle to get around your microphone.
Okay, I'll move this way. Is that better?
And of course, I have Ruthann, who we haven't introduced.
Yes, yeah, so Jessica's lovely interpreter is here with us. I kind of want her to say hello. I think you should say hello. Can you lean in and say... She's coming. She's coming.
Move in. I'm Ruthann, the interpreter.
So she's helping out. She's doing an amazing job. She's sat behind me here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure some people were a little bit confused about how we were doing this.
Yes. We have help. I know it's going to be fun later when we try and do a phone in thing.
Yeah,
I'm quite scared.
So we have a phone guest coming on later at the top of the hour, and the interpreter's going to be helping there. But we're going to get through it. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have a brilliant time.
We'll do well.
All right, I'm really excited to learn more about you. But I think first let's have a little bit of music. So let's go to our first song.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You gotta spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, and have faith.
Amen.
A pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
Amen.
To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. Now what did it do?
What do they do?
Just when everything looks so dark.
What do they do?
Man, they said you better accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't you mess with Mr. In Between.
To illustrate his last remark.
What do they do?
Just when everything looks so dark. What do they do?
Man, they said you gotta accentuate the positive feeling. Might hit the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't you mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess.
So, Jessica, I'm really
yes.
I'm really interested in the fact that I guess you are kind of an intersectional minority.
Do you
identify as a lesbian or bisexual or?
Oh no, I'm
queer
I'm a lesbian.
Lesbian.
I have been since the day I was born.
Okay, and you're also obviously living with your disability.
Yeah.
But you're also a Quaker, I believe.
I am.
And I have I understand that that's a religion. I think.
Yes. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. It is. It is a religion.
But I have no idea what that means. I've been to one of the Quaker buildings before, but I don't really understand. So I think educate me and any
of my
listeners who
How
may
long
not
do
know.
We have?
a few minutes.
Okay. Well, Quakerism is a religion. Oh my God, I don't want to get this wrong. That is like between 350 and 400 years old.
Fairly new.
Yeah, it's based in Christianity, but the idea is that it's living well every day and in everything you do. So it's things like we believe in the complete equality of all people.
Wow.
And that means that we have no right to harm another person through lying to them or cheating them or doing anything bad to them. Even by making them feel jealous of something. So it's
don't
show things off. And we believe that we all have our own direct relationship with God.
Sure.
There isn't someone who's higher. We don't believe in hierarchies. So in our Quaker meetings, instead of having a vicar or a priest or a bishop standing at the front, we all face the center of the room and we sit in silence. And that's how we can connect with God, and then when we feel moved to minister, we stand up and we give ministry.
Wow.
And yeah, and then when you're done, you sit back down, there's some silence again, and then someone else might stand up. And it's also really interesting how often someone will stand up and they'll say something like, I was just thinking that.
No way.
Oh my gosh. it's a really nice religion, I have to say.
Yeah.
We're all pacifists. We all believe in sustainability, protecting the world, the environment.
It sounds like the best religion I have ever heard of, and I'm fully on board with it. It sounds
excellent. Except one of our key things is not allowed to proselytize.
What does that mean?
That means you're not supposed to really promote your religion.
Oh, look,
so the idea is that
you're doing it wrong.
I know, doing it wrong. But the idea is that if people like Quakerism, they'll come to it by themselves.
Sure.
If it's right for you, then you'll find it.
You've not tried to sway me into this. You were just telling me about
it. I was just telling you about it.
You were just telling me.
Yes.
And now I'm really interested.
Indeed. So I was raised as a Quaker.
Uh-huh.
My parents are Quakers, and we went to Quaker school for a while. And it just, I think it was the most wonderful thing growing up, in that not only did it give me the self-confidence in knowing that my ideas were valued, because you're not looked down on as, oh, you're just a child.
Mm.
You know, everyone's words are respected.
Yes.
And you're taken into consideration how you're feeling, what your thoughts are on the matter. And then at school, no one talks down to you.
Yeah.
Even, this is a really simple example I use all the time, but in Quaker schools, when we wanted to go to the toilet, we just stood up and said, I'm going to the toilet, and then we walked out.
Like, acted like normal human beings should.
And went to the toilet, and then we came back. Because they had the trust and belief in us.
Yeah.
That, of course, we weren't going to go and do anything naughty. We were going to come back. So there's that respect.
Yes.
You know, if you treat children with respect, they'll treat you with respect.
I completely agree. And I almost think that is kind of how all schools should run. There's always this kind of... I don't know what the word is, but you have this authority who holds all the power, and the kids, even if, you know, there was a time when I was in school and my English teacher said to me, they were teaching comparatives and superlatives, and they told me it goes best, better, bestest. And
you were like, does it?
And I was like, I don't mean to contradict you, sir, but that's not correct. It's good, better, best. And I got given a detention for arguing with the teacher.
No.
So, you know, I do think that everybody should be on the same level. And obviously the teacher is there to teach. But I think it would work better if everyone was on the kind of same level.
Yeah, jeez. I'm one of the... Again, with everyone being on the same level, this person who was very helpful for me, Quakerism, we don't differentiate between the love of a man and a woman and the love of a woman and a woman, or a man and a man. So I was brought up just thinking that it didn't, you know, love is love. metaverse.
That's amazing.
I genuinely believed as a small child that you could just marry a girl if you wanted.
Well, you can.
I mean, you can now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was a little kid, I was like, but obviously you can do that. That's what I'm going to do. And my parents didn't raise me with the kind of, when you grow up and find your husband, it was, you know, and it wasn't, oh, one day when you have a boyfriend, you'll understand. Instead, it was, well, one day when you're dating, or one day if you get married to someone.
That is...
It was always very gender neutral in terms of my future. And then I was like, I didn't even come out to my parents. Mm. I don't have a coming out story like everyone else, because it just, I grew up. Yeah. And they were like, oh, she's still really into Pocahontas. Okay, guess that's not gone anywhere. She's gay.
So why do you think Quakerism, because I feel like so many of the other religions, you know, Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, Islam, I feel like they all kind of have some kind of anti-gay beliefs embedded in them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they do. So why do you think Quakerism is so different? Do you think it comes from that place of respecting everyone and being kind to everyone?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not going to say that in history, no Quaker was ever vaguely homophobic, because I'm pretty sure they were,
yeah,
because that's history. And not even all Quakers around the world in different countries, because there are a lot of Quakers in places like Kenya and America. They don't all support the British Quakers in supporting marriage equality and having marriage equality. But why do religions have homophobic tendencies?
It's a big question. Mm. It's a very, very big question.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's someone's PhD.
Yes,
right there.
Absolutely.
It's more than a PhD. I mean, I think we could say like, oh, it's all the patriarchy, it's all blah, blah, blah. But I think it's just to do with history and really boring stuff,
yeah,
like property rights.
Old books.
Yeah, it's the boring old stuff where they were like, well, we need to get you married because we need to know that this child is legitimate and then they can inherit stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's probably more based on that.
Did you find any kind of difficulties or almost culture shocks? Because you said you went to Quaker school, for instance, and then when you left that world, because if it was this kind of everyone's on the same level, there's no hierarchy, we're all being really kind to each other, we're all being lovely, and then you kind of step out of that world and people in the world aren't always that nice.
No, this is true. I mean, I had gone to a non-Quaker school before that, and I went to a non-Quaker school after that as well. And it is such a shock when you're told no for things.
Mm.
When you can put your hand up and you're like, can I dot, dot, dot? And like, no.
And you're like, oh.
No, but that was such a reasonable question. I mean, I think it's my human rights here that I can go and get some water. I thought that was allowed.
Nope.
I better ring the Hague and check.
What's the Hague?
Huh?
What's the Hague?
Oh, the United Nations.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very uneducated.
Oh, so they can come in and like legislate about human rights or something.
Okay.
You know how it goes. Clearly what every school child does.
So tell me more about your YouTube channel. And because one thing we haven't talked about is your incredible sense of style.
Oh.
Every time I see a picture of you pop up on my social media, you are looking absolutely... And this kind of... I don't know what the word is, but
so
this
kind.
All vintage-y look.
Yeah, no, vintage is the right word.
So how did this come to be?
Lord only knows, says my mother repeatedly. I think it just has a lot to do with having been, as a child, I wasn't diagnosed with my disability. I was only diagnosed when I was 17.
Sure.
So I spent a lot of time with people not believing that I had a problem. Like, I constantly had injuries and illnesses, and I get the same, like, oh, she's just really lazy. Like, oh, she's such a troublemaker. She's always got something else wrong with her.
Sure.
And just that being not believed almost gave me the confidence, because I knew there was something wrong, even if all of these adults said there wasn't.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I know I'm right. And that just gave me confidence somehow. Instead of bashing me down, it made me think, well, I'm right about everything. So,
yeah.
So I just sort of wore what I wanted to wear because they were going to say things about me anyway. so I might as well look really glamorous when I did it. And then later on when I became very ill, I spent a lot of time in hospital, and I'd come back to school for maybe an hour every other day. Attempt to, but it would actually be 20 minutes in my wheelchair. And you get that awkward thing where you roll up and you know every single person in the common room of 200 people turns around and looks at you. Mm. And you know they're going to do that anyway. So I'm damn well going to wear a ball gown while I do it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm going to look stunning.
Oh my God, yes.
And they will remember that forever.
Yeah, incredible. That's the best thing I've ever heard. That's the best reason to do anything. You know, if I'm going to make an entrance, I'm going to do it properly.
Yeah, so I just feel like, you know, I don't really live within society's boundaries anyway.
Yeah.
I'm disabled. I married a woman. I do what the hell I like all the time.
You're a rebel.
Yeah.
Break
rebel
all the rules.
In the most hilarious, like, 1950s proper type of way.
Amazing.
But there we go. It's counterculture. It's just a different culture.
I love it. I love it. And I love you. You're my new favourite person. New favourite person.
Oh, thank you. I'm very fond of you too.
We are going to be reacting to your sex confessions later in the show. So if you would like to send them in, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And give us your worst, because it's completely anonymous. And Jessica and I, we want to have a bit
of
fun.
I will gasp a lot. I am pretty sure. See how much you can make me gasp.
So yeah, do send those in, and let's have a little bit more music. Guess who back in the house? Heels click clacking about. Fine, fresh, feminine style to 11. I'm divine, so heavenly. Gentlemen, sweat, lips, down, across the board, no doubt. Body like wow. Pussy back in this strap. Titty so plentiful, fish queen. Jezebel should be criminal. Don't make sense for a bitch to be this in down. Rock to the side. What is that sound? Watch me drop, drop, drop.
Automatic supersonic, I'm a sassatron, and I ain't looking up to anyone, the gam's alone. And I'm ready to shake the jelly when the jelly's on. The kind of thing that all the fellas make advances on. I'm only getting out of bed for 20 million. Now get your camera phone, cause in a minute I'm about to be on.
Here come that girl, uh-oh, shit, what up? Yeah, well, that's the bread I'm calling. Plus, she's the big shot caller.
Get run over, over.
None of these bitches is cunty like you. Clocking your chickens, I'm fucking they poo. Running my business is all coming through. Where I step in, you know where what it do. Y'all know where what it do. None of these bitches is fucking with me. None of my businesses don't even witness. When I step in, they know where what it do. When I step in, they know where what it do. Yeah, bitch, she done already done had her. She been done had hers.
Get back, bop, ba-da-bop, bop, pow.
I love the contrast between Jessica's song choices and my song choices. It's the most wonderful divide, and I absolutely love it. Jessica, we're going to play a little bit of Two Truths, One Lie now.
Okay.
So for our lovely listeners who don't know what that is, Jessica has three facts about herself, but one of them is completely fictional, and I have to figure out which one that is.
Okay. I'm going to try and remember these. I did pre-prepare them. Okay. We're ready.
First one.
Number one, I had a Madonna video based on me.
A Madonna video?
Yes.
Based on you?
Yes.
Okay, wait. Hold.
Wait, do we have to go into this before my other truths?
Yeah, we do.
I'm barely remembering them.
I'm going to pick you apart.
Go for it.
So, tell me more. What was the Madonna video? I bet it was to do with your sense of style, right? It had to be.
I was four.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I was a stylish four-year-old, though. I was very stylish. Actually, I think I was in four. I was probably about three. It was for the Madonna video, Dear Jessie.
Okay.
Because her people phoned my dad, who made music videos, and said, "Hi, we have a song called Dear Jessie. Can you make a video for it?" And he was like, "Oh, well, I have a Jessie. My daughter is Jessie." So he just based the video on me. It's entirely me. So it's my bedroom. It's old wallpaper that they had left over from doing my bedroom.
No
All of my toys got taken. All of my toys got taken for the
that's
day.
Not, that's not fair.
I was
fair.
Not pleased. Just saying. Just saying, parents. I remember. And they dance around in the video, and then there's a little animated me with my grandparents' dog.
No way.
Yeah.
But wait, so your father is like a producer of
He's
music?
An animation film director. Oh. He used to make music videos.
That's absolutely incredible, and that sounds very plausible. That seems like a very detailed thing to
very very detailed
to make up.
Or is it a super detailed lie?
Hmm.
Ooh.
Maybe. Oh, I'm not sure. Okay, let's hear your next one.
Okay, my next one is that this is more personal. I was a virgin until I was 21.
Ooh. How old are you now?
I'm 29.
Okay, and you've been married.
Never ask a lady.
Sorry.
Goodness gracious.
Oopsies. And you've been married for 3 years.
I've been married for a year and a half. We've
been together
for 3.5 years.
3.5 years. Well.
Almost 4 years.
You seem like quite a traditionalist.
Yes.
So I don't know if that could potentially mean sex before marriage. I'm not sure.
I feel like it's
very plausible that you could have 21, you said.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's very plausible. But then maybe it's too simple and maybe that is the lie.
Oh.
Oh.
Have I not made it detailed enough?
Maybe. Okay, what's your third one?
And my third one was that I know my monetary value in hotels. Because my ex was told to stop dating me, and in order to do that, she would get a hotel. Her dad owned hotels, I should say. That wasn't like a...
Wait, so...
Random hotel.
Your ex's parents...
Yes.
...used to tell her that she's not allowed to date you...
Yes.
...because you were lesbians.
Yes.
And so your ex used to rent hotels.
No.
No.
So they said, if you stop dating that girl, we'll give you a hotel.
We'll give you a hotel. Like, here's a hotel for you forever. Oh, my God. And how? And are we allowed to talk about how much this hotel was worth? Or no?
No.
But presumably...
I mean, it hurt a lot, but maybe it boosted my ego a little bit.
Because she chose you, right? She didn't choose the hotel.
No, she's my ex. Think it through.
Wait, so she chose the hotel? She chose the hotel?
Yeah.
What a monster.
Well, now you have to work out whether that's true.
Oh, my God.
Or a lie. Which one's the lie?
Well, I'm trying to figure out if they connect together. Like, is this the girl that you lost your virginity to? And then did she leave you for a hotel?
Because she saw a Madonna's video?
Yeah. It's all connected. It's all intertwined. I really hope that that's not true. Because that is the most upsetting thing that I've ever heard. And I really, really hope that that's not true. But I kind of feel like it is. Oh, I'm in a bit of a bind.
Oh.
I feel like, okay, I'm going with here is like your first one was so detailed and it all makes so much sense to me.
Right.
So 4-year-old you was turned into a Madonna music video.
Yep.
All your toys were there. I'm absolutely on board with that. And for now, I'm saying that
that is...
You
can find it on YouTube.
Can I look now? No, I won't. I won't. I feel like that one is true.
Okay.
Tell me more about if it, I mean, you don't have to divulge any information you don't want to, but tell me, you lost your virginity at 21. So who was that with? How did that?
Well, I've only dated two people.
Okay.
One of whom I am now married to.
And the other one is the yes. hotel monster.
I mean, monster is harsh. The weight of homophobic parents is heavy.
That is, you're just such a kind and wonderful person.
Oh, thank you.
The fact that you would phrase it that way is amazing. I'm going to say that sadly that your ex did leave you to get a hotel. I'm going to say that that is true as well. And I'm going to say that the lie is that you lost your virginity at the age of 21.
You are right.
I'm right. I'm correct.
Yeah. I actually lost my virginity at the age of 23.
Okay, and was that to the hotel lady?
That was.
To the hotel lady.
And I was really sad about it afterwards. Not straight afterwards. I was like, oh, yay, we're together forever, amazing. But a few years later, when we broke up, yeah. I was then like, oh, I waited all that time.
Yeah.
And then it was not.
No, it's really sad. And that must have been such a kind of jarring disconnect to yourself, have such... presumably really accepting parents.
Yeah.
We spoke about how accepting they were. And then for your partner to have such...
It definitely was difficult and very hard for me to understand. My parents have been utterly accepting of really everything I have ever done.
That's wonderful.
Like that, I was like, parents, I'm going to be a YouTuber. Okay, darling, whatever.
Follow your heart, yeah.
They always brought me up with whatever makes you happy, that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting anyone else, you just go and live your best life, darling.
That's incredible.
So I was like, okay. So I'm going to parent.
And did you get to meet your ex's parents who weren't accepting?
I met her mother once, yes.
And
we had to pretend like we were just friends.
Oh, no.
It was really awkward.
Oh, that breaks my little heart. But you know what? There was a happy ending because you
There was a happy ending.
You met somebody lovely who...
Yes. I mean, there are about, I don't know, 100 first dates in between.
Yeah.
I went on a lot of first dates. They did not end well. I had maybe had two second dates. And then I met my beautiful wife, my one and only. And on our first date, I just looked at her and I knew she was the one.
It
was like
gosh.
A massive puzzle piece in my chest just slotted into place.
So poetic. And so it was like literally love at first sight, I guess.
Literally love at first sight. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. And we sat in a pub talking until they threw us out of the pub. I'm like, please just go home. You've been here for hours. Like, sorry. And she walked me home and we just chatted. And then we stood on my front doorstep for an hour it wasn't that cold, but it was for an hour until about 1 a.m. just talking. And... we've not really been separated since. Like our third date, she came over and I cooked her dinner. She brought a little bag with her. And then that was it.
She moved in.
That's
beautiful. I mean, I guess when you know, you know. And I think the fact that you went on this date and you just went to the pub and you just sat and talked says so much. I think sometimes I've been on dates where we've been doing something really exciting and yet the chemistry and it just doesn't click. And then other times you could literally be sat on the floor in an empty room and you're having the best time because you're really connecting with that person.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really nice that's how you...
And I think the thing that made me, although I had that initial rush of, oh my God, you're amazing, we'll be together forever. We then had everything I then told her, like, oh, by the way, this isn't just a fancy Bluetooth headset, it's a hearing aid.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite deaf. Also, I have this disability where occasionally bits of me don't work. Oh, yeah, and then sometimes this happens and it's a bit scary and you have to go to A&E. And she's just like, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was just on board
so
with it.
So blasé.
Have you had any bad dating experiences where people have
reacted
badly?
Yeah, they tended to fall into two groups. The ones who, like, oh my God, this is so scary. Wow, no, please go away.
Yeah.
I actually had one girl who said to me, oh wow, oh God, if I had that, I would kill myself.
What?
I was like, oh thanks.
Why do they think that's okay?
That's just my life, don't worry about it.
That's a horrible, horrible thing to say.
Yeah, completely hideous.
And again,
I did tell her never ever to say that to anyone ever again.
And no. The fact that she didn't know that already.
I know.
Where was she raised?
In a barn.
And you are, you yourself are Malaysian, so did you...
No, I'm not Malaysian.
You're not Malaysian, your parents are Malaysian.
No, my wife's Malaysian.
Your wife's Malaysian, okay, I was very confused.
No, my wife is half Malaysian.
Okay.
So she's half Chinese Malay.
Okay.
And we actually just spent 8 weeks in Malaysia.
Oh, wow, how was that?
Traveling around. It was amazing. Spent lots of time with her family, who, even though they are Chinese Malay, and traditionally they're not the most accepting.
Yeah.
They're just completely amazing with us. And the first time we went out there 2 years ago, they threw an engagement party, a joint one, for the two of us and also Claudia's sister and her fiancé. And Claudia was like, okay, look, just so you know, before we go into this party, it is very much going to be about the two of them. It's going to be about their really, like, straight, happy little coupledom.
Sure. Yeah.
And we are very much going to be in the corner. We might get mentioned a little bit, but it won't be about us. Please don't feel bad if we're just overlooked. You know, it's fine. It's fine. They're not coming at us with pitchforks and throwing us into the street. So I'm perfectly fine with them not celebrating us. And we walked in and it was just the most beautiful sight. Everything was completely equal. So they came over and they gave us umpals, which are the red envelopes with money in.
Yeah.
And it was equal amounts, both couples. They gave us matching identical presents, everything. They talked about when we one day come back with our children for both of us. And it was such a magical, wonderful experience of complete acceptance.
Yeah.
Even though they were like, well, we're not really sure about this gay thing. We don't know about it. But... you're both wonderful and we love you. So, yay.
That's the best possible reaction that anyone could ever give. And I think that's even... I think sometimes people can be too overcompensating.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm okay with this. I think this is amazing.
I'm totally fine
with the gays.
Yeah.
Love the gays.
To
just be like, okay, very good. Well, here's your envelope and here's your envelope. Yeah. And everybody's equal. Bring us back some children. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, and then when we were here this time, because... we now have a little nephew. Just very exciting. Claudia has had a baby. So now we came back this time and they were like, when is your baby coming? They are very direct Chinese people. They're like, when's yours? When's the date? When will it be here? You will be coming with the baby next time, yes?
Tapping their watches.
We expect you with baby next time. We're like, okay, sorry. We won't come back until we've got a baby. Jeez.
And will there be a baby?
Hopefully, yes.
That is
our plan.
Yeah.
Have some things to do first.
Yeah, got some things to figure out. Yeah.
Got some things to work out, yeah. Not the most simple thing in the world. But hopefully in the next few years, I will have a little bubba.
Well, I hope I get to meet the bubba when it does come.
Yeah.
Don't come back here to this radio station
without a baby.
Bring me a baby.
Okay.
There's a lot of pressure on you.
I mean, I'd still run from the street if I had to. I'm not kidding. I'm really broody.
Okay, don't do that.
I'm a bit of a danger.
Don't do that. You will go to prison. You will go to prison.
But I'll have a baby.
No. Should we have a bit more music, Jessica?
Let's go for it.
All right, this is one of your choices. This is a bit of Judy Garland.
Your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Chase your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're gonna be going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's quiet and peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, get happy, your cares fly away. Shout hallelujah, get happy, get ready for your judgment day. Come on, get happy, chase your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy, get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. Heaven cross the river, throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
FUBAR Radio presents
Show with Johanna James.
Huge welcome, Arabella Nail. Welcome.
Hello.
With a clap.
It's a wonderfully bonkers, insane play that it's set in a club toilet.
So I am so intrigued.
I know.
Because I always wonder what goes down there.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't even want to know, but you want to know, but you don't want to know.
Because ladies go together.
We go together. I mean, we literally go together. We'll sit and pee at the same time.
In the cubicles.
Yeah.
You stand in the cubicle together.
Yeah, because you're continuing your talk. You just drop your knickers, have a wee, and then you swap places.
Yeah,
absolutely. Shut up! No way!
Well, it's not that weird. You guys get your Johnsons out next to each other.
Yeah, but I don't tell my mate to shake it, do I?
Every Friday.
Back Row and Show with Johanna James.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
So, we have something quite exciting now, Jessica.
Yes.
Never before have we done a competition on this show.
Oh.
But we have something lovely to give away to our lovely listeners.
So that's very exciting.
We have a pair of Sennheiser smart headphones. They are earpieces fitted with high quality microphones, letting you create videos with stunning 3D sound on your device.
Whoa.
Sounds fancy as hell, and apparently they're really good for vloggers and content creators
like ourselves.
So maybe we won't give them away, maybe we'll just steal them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how useful headphones would be for me.
That's a very good point.
I'm sure you would love them.
Yeah, they might be great for me. Maybe we'll give them away.
Yes, let's give them away instead.
So if you want to win one of these pairs of headphones, all you have to do is go over to FUBAR Radio's Twitter, give them a follow, and retweet the image that they are posting right now.
Do it.
And then don't say we don't ever give you anything.
Do people say that? Callum, you give me nothing.
They say it all the time. All the time.
Hush, people, don't be so cruel to him.
I know, they're so
he
mean
tries.
To me. They're so mean to me. I wanted to talk to you, Jessica, about queer identities.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's almost like this movement now, mm-hmm, of lots and lots of people choosing to not identify as lesbian, not identify as gay, not identify as bi or pan, and just instead choose to identify as queer.
Yeah.
And I think people are doing this because they don't want to feel as boxed in as they used to. You know, we've had LGBT plus rights has moved on such a long way. And I think people are starting to feel that although they do need to kind of identify that way as a way of expressing themselves, but maybe they don't want to be boxed in very much.
Yeah.
So Tom Daley recently came out and he spoke about this and said, you know, he's married to a man, and you know, he came out as gay and all that, but every now and then he does feel attracted to women and he does feel sexually attracted to women, but he doesn't feel bisexuality is the right term for him.
No, I mean, I think we're all on a scale, aren't we? We've got the Kinsey scale for that.
Yes, we do.
And most of us, I think, are somewhere along that scale. I feel like I am 100% gay. Like, I
couldn't
don't
be more gay.
I'm just super, super gay. So I've never had a boy thing in that way.
Yeah.
But I understand. Have you seen any videos from Rowan Ellis?
I love Rowan.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Isn't she awesome?
Adore Rowan, yes.
Just have a little love in for Rowan. But she has a really great video about queer identity because she calls herself queer rather than lesbian. And she says that's because lesbian as a term has historically had a lot of transphobic connotations.
Mm.
with that whole kind of turf and who's a woman and who's not a woman, and if you're identifying as a lesbian but then you date a trans woman, you're no longer a lesbian, you're out of our group.
Right.
And a lot of that mucky history.
Yeah.
So she chooses to identify herself as queer. I choose to identify myself as lesbian because I think it's just a term for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily look at the wider history and who else chooses to call themselves a lesbian, and if they want to take my term and turn it into something else, it doesn't, you know, that's on them. But this is something that I feel suits me as a person, so
absolutely,
that's why I'd identify as that. In the same way that disabled I use as a term, I am proud and happy to say I am disabled. I'll wear a badge. I won't actually wear a badge because I don't like having anything with lettering upon my
person. Because it ruins your outfit.
It does, yes. But I'm very proud of that. I like having a label. Even if other people have taken it and turned it into something bad, I think you can still take any kind of term like that and make it your own.
Yeah.
But I completely understand people wanting to use the term queer.
Yeah, I'm in a complete agreement with you. I think a label should be something that you use yourself, and it's your own personal identity. And if you want to identify in a certain way, and maybe technically the definition that's in the dictionary doesn't exactly match that, then I don't think that matters. People should be able to identify in whatever way they choose. There was an amazing story about this gay man, and he lived his whole life as a gay man. He was a very big part of the gay community. He had sex with a lot of men, he dated a lot of men, was in a lot of gay relationships. And then one day he met a woman and fell, unexpectedly even to him, he fell madly in love with her. And they ended up getting married. But he still chooses to identify as gay.
Yeah.
Which I think is fascinating and quite lovely, because he still feels gay for everyone else except this one woman who just kind of
came into his life. I understand that. And it's something I talk about with my wife quite a lot. Because, like, again, I am 100% of the female loving. And she's dated boys in the past. She's had boyfriends. She doesn't feel like she can say she will ever not like men ever again.
Yeah.
But she still identifies as lesbian. And my thing is that I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever. If you are 99% straight and 1% gay, as long as I fall into the 1% gay that you fancy, we're good.
Yeah, as long as you guys are staying together and you guys are being a couple, then it doesn't really matter outside of that.
So I get really concerned when I see online a lot of people's reactions to how others choose to label themselves and other people's sexuality and gender. But why do you care?
Why are you all angry?
I'm so sorry. How does this affect you in any way?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's it got to do with you? Nothing.
And I don't know what the answer to that question is. Because these people are so angry sometimes. You know, these are the people who are writing angry articles and going on the television. And the fact that these people are given a platform in the first place is beyond me and worrying. But what's causing that anger? Why is that person over there choosing to use that label to identify themselves and choosing to live their life happily, which is in no way affecting you?
No.
Why so angry?
It's the same drama we have with gay marriage. I mean, is my marriage harming anyone?
Me personally.
Is it? But I'm like, I'm sorry, if my gay marriage is affecting your straight marriage, maybe your marriage isn't so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
For anything else to come in and affect your marriage, that's on your marriage. It's not on anyone else.
And that's when they'll sweep in with, oh, but what about the children? What about the children?
What about them? I know many children raised by same-sex parents. They're
exactly. Exactly. And actually,
I mean, if we look at studies, children raised by gay parents have higher IQs.
Do they really?
They do.
Suck on that, straight people.
Well, there you go.
We're just putting that information out there, not saying anything.
Just saying.
Not saying anything about it. We have a really special guest joining us in just a few minutes. They're going to be joining us on the phone. We also are going to be reacting to your sex confessions later on in the show. So if you would like to send those in, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. It's completely anonymous, and Jessica and I are very lovely people. We're not going to...
I'm really excited.
There's
for
no
this.
Judgment here. Everything's cool. Whatever you've been up to, we're cool with it. We're just gonna talk about it and probably praise you for being so awesome.
No judgment. I just really want to know your secrets.
All right, so we'll have our guest joining us shortly, but for now let's have a little bit of MNEK.
Swimming pool of passion, mutual attraction. We both know there is something going on. There is something going on. Didn't wanna stop this verse with those three little words, 'cause we both know there is something going on. But I don't wanna play it wrong, so I'm not gonna say it. No, I don't wanna say it. I don't know how you'll take it, so I'ma try not to say it. 'Cause when I've said it in the past, each time it didn't last. So I'ma try not to say it, but it feels like I might say it. So I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out, but there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one. I'm putting both hands over my mouth. I can only hope nothing's gonna come out, but there it is on the tip of my tongue.
I think I love you.
I think you're the one.
No big deal, explaining how I feel. I don't know why and it's taking us so long. Why it's taking us so long. So much hesitation for that kind of conversation. We both know there is something going on, yeah, but we don't wanna play wrong. So
joined by body and sex positive mental health advocate and freelance writer Liv Cassano. How are you doing, Liv?
Hi, I'm doing great, thanks guys.
Thank you so much for coming on. Just to let you and our lovely listeners know, we are with the lovely Jessica here in the studio. And Jessica
Hi.
Is working with an interpreter. So if there is a little bit of a delay or anything like that, that is why.
No problem.
Liv, tell us a little bit about what you do. I've been looking at some of your articles recently and you talk about some incredible things. So give us a little bit of a background on yourself.
Well, I like to call myself a dildo diva. Just a very fun way of saying that I write about sex. I write about anything to do with the female body and the female experience. And as a very sex positive person, that means that I write about sex and sex toys and vaginas and things that go inside vaginas. And it's all very, very fun.
It sounds fun. And being able to call yourself a dildo diva is probably the best thing I've ever heard.
It's worth it just for the name.
That, that name was actually given to me by one of my mum's best friends. So a middle-aged woman gave me that name, and I love it even more for that reason.
That's amazing. I'm really interested because I know you recently spoke about this. I'm really interested in pegging and pegging mm-hmm. happening in heterosexual relationships. So for anyone listening, do you want to give us a rundown on what pegging is?
Yeah. So pegging is a sexual act where a straight man is penetrated by a woman wearing a strap-on dildo. So it's basically just, it's anal sex in a hetero relationship where the roles are reversed. So it's a woman penetrating a man.
Yes. What I'm really enjoying is watching Jessica and her interpreter trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Sign visual. Language is very visual, obviously. Involves some acting out.
So, that's what's happening in the studio right now. I'm really interested in this because I think there is this almost stigma around men doing, straight men doing anything mm-hmm. anything anal with their own anus. I think there's this idea that any straight man who does that is inherently gay, which of course isn't true. We're all men have prostates. Well, a lot of men have prostates, mm-hmm. and they're capable of pleasure through their prostate.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this stigma comes from, that the idea of using that. Jessica, go ahead.
Sorry, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Is it only called pegging if it's a cis man?
I think so, but I'm not sure. That's a very good question.
Yeah, pegging technically involves a strap-on and involves a man and a woman. So I imagine you could use it in other scenarios, but typically it's to describe when a cis woman penetrates a cis man.
Strap-on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a complicated little world to navigate.
You learn new things every day.
It's just anal sex. It's just a very fancy word for anal sex.
Yeah. So let's talk about the stigma and where do you kind of think that comes from, and how do you think we can almost get straight men to almost open up? Mind the pun.
In our society, there's a very weird idea that what you like in bed defines you, right? So fetishes or what you like to watch in porn. So a lot of straight men have internalized this kind of homophobia and think that if they like anything done to their bums, then they're obviously gay, which is utter bollocks, because you're gay if you're attracted to men. So, you know, pegging is like any other type of sexual activity. It's just pleasure. It's really just about something that feels good and makes you come.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't make you gay. It doesn't make you unmanly. There's this really kind of misguided patriarchal idea that it's a form of emasculation if a woman is dominating you. But it's really not it. You know, if you don't like anal play, or if the idea of pegging doesn't really particularly fancy because you don't really like anything done to your bum because of an ooh factor, or kind of you think it's a bit icky, that's totally fine. But you know, you shouldn't let something as silly as you know, internalized homophobia get in the way of a potentially mind-blowing orgasm. That just seems a bit stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have traditionally connected you know, anal sex with homosexuality and mm-hmm. anything else as heterosexuality. And I actually have a really mm-hmm. interesting example of this. So when I was in school, I was quite heavily bullied. Mm-hmm. And there was this one guy in particular who really aggressively bullied me for years. And then several years after I left school and I'd come out as gay, I saw him in a bar. And he came up and he started talking to me. And I started, you know, saying, oh, I'm openly gay, I have a boyfriend now. And he was having a few drinks, and then he started opening up to me, and he said, you know, when I masturbate, I like to shove two fingers in my ass. And he was
how drunk was this guy? He just, you know, started just talking to me casually.
Very open.
Okay.
I mean, this was after, you know, quite a few drinks. But he was so terrified to tell me this. And I could see that I don't think he ever told anyone that in his whole life. But because I was a gay man, he felt that he could tell me. But he was so scared. And he was saying, does this make me gay? Am I gay? And I was like, dude, no, absolutely not. And I think the irony is that I'm a gay man who doesn't like any kind of anal play. And it's the association that gay men like it and straight men don't. And actually, that's completely interchangeable. But
again, it's about basing your own sexuality and your own sexual needs on what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And you should really just be thinking about yourself.
Yeah. And I think,
and it's what I was saying before. What you like in bed doesn't necessarily mean, like, it doesn't say anything about you as a person, you know? There's sex is so subjective. Everyone likes a lot of different things, and there shouldn't be any judgment in that or preconceptions.
One thing I hear quite often when it comes to kink and things like that is, oh God, what happened to you? What messed you up? And it's like, nothing messed
me up.
But
then lesbians get that all the time. What damaged you?
Yeah.
What did your ex-boyfriend do to you? Yeah. What happened? He was a child.
It's this idea that unless you're into really mainstream or vanilla sex, then there must be something wrong with you. But as long as what you're doing is consensual, then, you know, let your freak flag fly. It's all okay. Just make sure it's consensual, make sure it's legal, and make sure that you're being safe in cases of STDs and unwanted pregnancies when you're talking about hetero scenarios. But aside from that, it's all good. It's all fine.
Words to live by right there. the next thing I want to talk about, and I've been so excited to talk about this all day, is I don't know, I'm probably going to say this wrong, so maybe you can take this away from me. Teledildonics?
Oh, yeah.
Good luck signing that one.
Okay. Say what now?
Teledildonics is, it can sound kind of like sci-fi dystopian, but it's actually a really cool technology. It's just a very fancy word for wirelessly synced sex toys that communicate with each other through Wi-Fi or through the internet. So basically, you can be in London and your partner can be in, I don't know, New York.
Yes.
And you each have a sex toy. Say if we're talking about a straight couple, the girl will have the woman will have a vibrator and the man will have like a fleshlight, and these two toys are synced to each other, so they react off each other. So if you change the vibration on your vibrator, it will communicate that to the fleshlight in like New York, and it's like you're having sex with each other, but you're not in the same room.
It sounds like the most incredible thing that I've ever heard, and I want this.
I mean, like, my first thought there was, oh my God, that's amazing for like long distance relationships.
Yeah.
I can bring you together. It'd be fabulous.
Exactly.
And then my second thought is, that's super scary. What if someone hacks it?
Oh my God, yeah. What if someone hacks it?
Is that possible?
That's very possible. That is so possible, because anything that is connected to the internet can essentially be hacked. And there have been cases of sex toys being hacked, and obviously, you don't want anyone... So, you know, there is a very big problem when it comes to privacy and data mining, and all, you know, hackers could potentially communicate, so to speak, with your toy. And, you know, if a device is taken over by someone you don't want to, then it's a non-consensual sexual activity. And it's really scary to think about the fact that this can all be done through the internet, like...
That
is robots are taking over.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, originally I was like, oh my God, get
Still
me one of
this?
Those. And now I'm like,
no, let's back away.
I mean, they have, you know, teledildonics have a really good potential for, as you guys said, long distance relationships, and they kind of help, you know, maintain a sense of intimacy for couples who don't live in the same country or in the same city. And they're also really great for sex workers and, for example, cam girls, because they can use them with their clients and kind of provide a more
intimate,
it's kind of like virtual reality porn, but even better. And it's still quite a niche technology, but it's slowly getting more traction and becoming more mainstream. But yeah, obviously, as with any type of technology, there's a huge downside when it comes to privacy and hacking.
But because I once heard of, I guess it was more primitive version of this, where you have a sex toy and then you have a long distance remote control. So I've heard of like butt plugs and things like that, where one person can have them in and then they can go and live about their day, and they could be doing their office job or whatever, and then you could just like flick it on. And
so, yeah, basically the most common are love eggs. A woman will wear, or a man, I suppose, if it's the butt plug version, will wear them, and then their partner can just turn them on and off whenever they fancy. And you can just kind of like, you know, you can be working at your desk and suddenly they turn on, you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. But the thing about
I guess for the other person, it's also sex without the effort.
Yeah,
you can get your partner off without really doing much.
Yeah, you just have to press a button.
Maybe you're super lazy.
Which is every straight man's dream of giving an orgasm without making any effort at all, basically. But teledildonics is that same principle, except that you both get to participate. So whatever you do, your partner's toy reacts to it. So it's kind of like having sex, but with someone who's not there.
Oh, see, now I want it again. I went from wanting it, and then I didn't want it, and now I want it again.
It's been around.
It's available. it's a technology that's available. You can buy these toys, so go for it.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, as far as I know, it is. Just because, you know, this technology has existed, I think, since the 90s, but at the time nobody wanted it because it was expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just now starting to gain more demand. Mm. So obviously the more people will want to buy them, the more...
The price will come down.
Do you feel like something, so something that in 10 years' time everyone will have?
Well, for the article that I wrote, I spoke to a couple of experts, and they don't think that it'll ever be... Like, it will never replace real sex. It will never replace real intimacy. So ultimately, I think it just, you know, you can't really tell. Hopefully, it'll become more popular because, as I said, it's a really good innovation for sex workers and cam girls and porn stars. But as far as day-to-day couples, unlikely, to be honest.
I think you can't. You know, you can't replace that intimacy. You can't replace that warmth. You can't replace that tenderness. I think, like we discussed earlier, I think it is a wonderful thing for long-distance couples or situations where somebody is working away or things like that, or like cam girls, things like that. It's great. It's amazing. But you're never going to be able to...
It feels like something you'd have to use as the last resort. So if there's no other option, we'll do this.
Get the teledildonics out.
All right.
It's a bit like... Like, it's a bit like masturbation. People say, oh, but, you know, if you use sex toys, you know, that means you're never going to have sex again. And it's a bit like, well, no, because you still kind of want the skin-to-skin contact. Humans are really social creatures, so we do really crave that intimacy and that connection. And you can't really replace that with technology, no matter how good the technology is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Liv, it's been amazing chatting to you, and
oh, thank you.
You've taught us so much, and I'm really, really grateful for
that. My mind has been blown.
Yeah, both of our minds have been blown wide open. if people want to read your work or follow you on social media, where can they do that?
They can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @Liv_CSS.
Lovely, and you talk about lots of things like this, right?
Yes, there'll be lots of povy topics on my timeline. So if you want to join the moistness, you can follow me.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been
Thanks
an absolute star. See you later,
thank
Liv.
You.
Bye. What an absolute legend she was.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm still
the hacker thing. That just scares me.
So you won't be investing in any...
No, thank you, no.
What if you found out you and... I forgot. I don't know your
Claudia.
Wife's name. Claudia. What if you and Claudia had to spend a year apart and someone was like, here you go, you can have these. Free of charge.
Well, we currently struggle spending an evening apart, so...
that would be tricky.
I don't know. We might just crumble to dust.
Good answer. Should we have a bit more music, Jessica?
Yes.
Okay, this is Lullaby.
Will you lay me down, make my heart the only sound? Throw my fears all to the ground, will you hold me? Will you serenade me with the song you used to play? Till the night turns into day, will you hold me?
Watch me. You better sit down, boy. Better take your seat.
So when you used to date?
Yes.
Did you ever do the old dating apps?
Oh, I did. Yes, how did you get on with them? Well, I didn't do any of the kind of normal ones, I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I did OkCupid.
Who hasn't done OkCupid? That's a normal one.
Where you get, you know, 50 messages from old men.
Yeah.
You know, thanks so much.
thrilled about this.
Excellent. Brilliant. Not what I need in my life right now. Clearly put on my lesbian, but sure. And then I did apps like Datch, which is now called Her.
Oh, okay. I've never actually heard of that one.
Oh, that one's really good.
Yeah.
I recommend that app.
Okay, cool.
I met my wife on it.
That's how you met?
It is.
Oh, my God. Oh, and then you went on your first date where you went to the pub.
Yes.
Oh, that's so lovely. Did you meet the previous girlfriend as well on that app? No.
Her is all about just girls in your local area, really.
Oh, okay.
So it just shows you girls who are sort of nearby.
Yeah.
But you can set the distance to whatever you like. And then they have what is essentially a Pinterest board.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's so
That's perfect for you.
Like, it's
perfect
so girly. So you make yourself your little Pinterest board, and you've got a picture of yourself, of course, looking really nice, and then the food that you like, and then, like, the countryside, because you like going on country walks.
Oh, my God.
And a picture of your dog.
Oh, my God. I need this. This is the dating app for me, but it's only for lesbians.
It's beautiful, I must say. Well, bisexual girls as well.
Yeah, but that's not me.
No, sorry. But it's really sweet. It's really nice. And actually, we've met some really good friends through it as well.
Oh, that's really,
yeah.
Really lovely.
Who kind of went on dates and then were like, oh, no. I mean, we're going to be friends for life, but I am not kissing you.
What, one of my really, really close friends, I met on a dating app, and literally on our first date, within 15 seconds of seeing each other, we were both like, oh, no. We were not each other's type at all.
No.
But we, you know, you don't just leave. Obviously, you sit down and you do the date anyway. And we got on so well, but platonically, that we actually became really, really good friends. And then, like, months and months later, we kind of both turned to each other and went, oh, my God, wait. You didn't like me either? Oh, my God.
Amazing.
We both thought the other one was ugly? Yes.
So good.
And now we're really good friends.
Our relationship will never be damaged by sexual tension.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like the perfect.
I feel that.
You can make friends.
No,
on
I apps. Went on many dates with girls that I was just like, no, let's be friends. You would be an awesome friend, but I do not want to kiss you. I think people are like 3D puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
And so you've got bits that stick out and then bits that depressed, and then you need to find the puzzle piece that fits with you
perfectly,
and it might fit with you in so many ways except maybe 3. And then you need to find the perfect puzzle piece instead.
I really hope I find my perfect puzzle piece soon.
I'm sure.
I'm trying. Well, I've got a little game for you, Jessica.
Oh, yes.
In this game, we have different... So dating apps is very visual.
Yeah.
You know, even with your Pinterest board, that's a very, very visual thing. So instead, we've kind of turned it on its head. And in this game, you have to decide whether you're going to swipe left or right. So left for no, right for yes.
Okay.
Based on one specific trait about the person.
Okay. So, wow.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, so the first one is...
I'm holding my arms. You can't see this, obviously, because it's radio. But I'm actually holding one arm down and one arm up, just so I can remember.
I mean, we can just say yes or no if it's easier.
Oh, no, I mean, I never got to do the swipey thing on Tinder. Let me try.
Okay, so we're doing it
Let
now.
Let me try.
Right, okay. So your date claims to be a witch.
Oh, okay. How much of a witch?
I don't know. Okay, let's just
say... I need to qualify these things.
She's 100% serious. She does spells in a bedroom.
Okay.
She really believes in it. She's yet to actually see any results, but she fully believes she's a witch. She spends a lot of time on it, 1 hour an evening, and sometimes she goes away on little witch retreats at the weekend.
I'm going to swipe no.
Which left? Nailed it.
There we go.
You're saying no.
I mean, it's very nice that, you know, everyone should have their own interests.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I mean, you're going to be messing with the undead. Who knows what's going to come into your bedroom late at night?
Oh, very good point.
Let's not mess with that.
Just from a practical point of view.
Indeed, from a practical point of view, this doesn't seem safe.
So I love that you're not concerned that they're crazy. You're concerned that they actually may be a witch and this may go very wrong for you.
Exactly. You just don't know, Callum. Anything could be possible.
Did you ever watch Buffy the Vampire
Slayer? Oh my God, don't. What, don't come at me with Buffy. I have an encyclopedic knowledge of Buffy.
Oh, so you love Buffy?
Oh, obsessively. Especially any episode that involves Faith.
Oh, Faith. I did like a bit of Faith.
Yeah. As a teenager, bought everything that had her face on.
But as a lesbian woman, surely Willow and Tara were like icons for you. And they were witches.
Buffy and Faith were clearly the original canon lesbian couple, okay? Just because they couldn't kiss on screen or couldn't make anything more of it.
There was definitely something there.
I know all about the original enemies. There we go. The original enemies episode where Buffy and Faith do actually kiss. Well,
I don't remember them kissing.
No, they didn't, because then they had to change the script, because then the heads of the studio were like, you cannot have them kissing. Even if you're trying to pass it off as her being really angry at Buffy, you can't do that. And they were like, fine. So they had to redo it, and she kisses her on the forehead instead.
So you're telling me, in the canon of Buffy, Faith was originally a lesbian?
Well, I mean, we can't say that she was a lesbian, because she did sleep with men as well. She slept with Xander.
Bisexual.
I mean, maybe she's just finding herself out. She's only a teenager.
Do you know what my favourite thing about Buffy is? And
what?
I promise we're not going to talk about Buffy forever, listeners.
But we could.
But we definitely could. Is that long before Willow ever came out as a lesbian herself, her kind of alter ego, the vampire version of herself, was always
that
a lesbian.
Was so good.
And I think that was so clever. It was almost like the writers were like, look, in a few years, she's going to be a lesbian, but so let's gently...
The entire show is littered with things like that.
Yeah.
Where you go back and you're like, three seasons later, that totally panned out.
This all made sense.
It all makes sense now. Yeah, that's so good. And she's like, oh no, the alternate version of me is really skanky and kind of gay.
Dun, dun,
and
dun.
Buffy and Xander are like,
But you're still saying no to the witch, despite all of this.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
I'm not bringing that on my head.
All right, let's move on to the next one. You're on a second date, and the person you're meeting brings a friend with them.
Okay.
Swipe right or left. Second date.
Now, I would have swiped left for no.
Yeah.
But then I chatted to Abby, your producer, who said that her boyfriend brought a friend on their first date. And they've been together for 3 years.
Oh my God, that did not happen.
Yep.
She's gone all red. She's so embarrassed by this.
It happened.
Apparently, he said it wasn't a date.
Yeah, whatever.
And just brought somebody with the thing is, I think there can be this kind of situation where it's ambiguous and people don't know if they're on a date or not.
Yeah.
I've got a few friends who this has happened to multiple times, where they've gone on a date and then the other person's not realised it's a date.
Oh.
I always say date. I always say, hey, can I take you out on a date?
No, but I have a terrible habit of saying, let's have a lunch date.
Ah.
I use the word date as like, let's
coffee
meet
date.
Up.
Yes.
Let's have a lunch date, darling. Let's meet for coffee, darling.
And that could be misinterpreted.
Yes, I do also have a terrible problem of throwing the word darling around. And because I lip read, I spend a lot of time staring at people's mouths, which can be very misinterpreted.
Yeah, because that's how I know I'm like they want to kiss me. I'm like, oh, they keep looking down at my
looking
lips.
Looking in my mouth. Yeah,
they want me.
No, maybe they're just deaf. I mean, who knows?
One of the two. Maybe both.
Maybe
both.
Maybe they super fancy you and they're deaf. This could happen. Totally. But let's see. I think I would date... No, I would base my dating preferences on the person themselves. And maybe they're just a bit nervous. So they brought a friend and that's totally okay.
Oh, God, I love you. You were my favourite person. Like, anything, you're like, no, let's think about this. Let's think about their needs let's try and understand where they're coming from. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
So swipe right.
I'm swiping right as well.
Yes.
Swiping right as well. All right, next one. 6 months into a relationship, the person you're seeing reveals they want you to give up alcohol. They are going straight edge and you must join them.
Well, first of all, I don't drink.
Well, so it's an easy one for you.
Well, there we go. I'm like, okay, darling.
Let's change it from alcohol to they're giving up vintage clothing.
Well, that's very harsh. I mean, that's having a say on the personal style of a person, and that is not right because you are your own person. However, back to alcohol, I would be like, why are they giving up alcohol? Maybe they feel like they have a little bit of a problem with it.
And you should support them in
that. Yeah, and they need a bit of help getting through that.
Yeah.
If they've noticed something in themselves that they think is a bit off, then I think you should be the one supporting them.
I think if I was in a 6 months into a relationship and I really, really liked them and they said, look, I really want to give up alcohol and you drinking it makes it really difficult for me, so would you mind? I would say, you know what, absolutely. If I'm ever with you in the house, I won't drink. Mm-hmm. If we go out with friends, I won't drink. But if I want to go off on my own and you're not going to see me and I want for you drinks with my friends, then I'm going to do that. And I think that would be the fair compromise.
I think that's completely fair. And the alcohol is not like, it's not hugely necessary.
It's not hugely necessary.
You know, you don't need it to have a good night. The two of you can go out with a group of friends and both of you aren't drinking and you can have just as much fun as everyone else.
I actually gave up alcohol for around 9 months a few years ago.
Oh.
Just, you know, for personal reasons, I just thought, you know, I want to have a break from this.
Yeah.
And the first night I went out, it was at Brighton Pride.
What a night to
choose. 2 years ago. And I was really, really...
I was there.
Were you?
Maybe I don't know if I saw you, but I was there.
But I was really, really nervous about going out. And I kind of thought, because we all went out afterwards, and I kind of thought, it's going to get to about 11 p.m. and I'm going to want to go to bed if everyone's getting drunk around me. It actually got to 4 a.m. and I was still like dancing on the dance floor, like, come on, guys. And everyone else wanted to go to bed. And it was at that point that I realized I thought I needed the alcohol to have fun, but I actually don't. I do like a drink, but, you know, I don't need it.
I've never drunk around, you know, I've never had going out with friends and getting drunk with them. And so I do feel like, oh, I missed out on a little bit of that kind of camaraderie where you're like, I had such a terrible night and then I vomited all over the bus driver. I don't have any of those stories.
Sure.
So that's, you know, what a loss. What a shame.
No vomiting on
that's
bus drivers.
Fine. But it doesn't affect anything because I have, you know, great parties with my friends and we go out and I am just as loud and gregarious as I am the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you're swiping right for yes.
I'm swiping for yes.
I'm swiping yes as well.
But also no.
But if they were really unreasonable about
yes,
it and they weren't
true.
Willing to compromise, then not because of the drinking, but because of them as a person,
yeah.
I would say
if it's controlling behaviour, you need to get out now.
Absolutely.
Don't let them start with the little things.
So wise, Jessica.
Oh, thank you.
So wise. Okay, your final one.
Oh, yes.
You meet a date for brunch. After they explained they had a late one... After they explained they had a late one last night, you see Lumpy Sick is stuck in their hair after they've been throwing up on the bus driver.
Poor girl.
Yeah, I would swipe them right. I would think that was hilarious. I would be like... mate or lady friend, you have sick in your hair, you absolute mess, you're hilarious, I love you. That would be my response.
I'd be like, oh honey, let's go to the bathroom and get you some
sort it out.
Come on, I've got a comb in my bag. It's all gonna be okay. We'll just start this date again when you're ready.
So if anything, to be honest, I think that would make me like them a little bit more. Just, you know.
I mean, it's a good icebreaker, right? Excellent. Also, I in no way can judge because part of my condition is that I do throw up a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a very unfortunate incident once in university when there was a girl that I really, really fancied.
Oh, no.
And we got into a lift together and I was just not doing well that day. And then I folded in half and vomited all over her shoes. And then she kind of leant over to help me up as I was standing up and I elbowed her in the face as well.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
If you're listening.
Sarah.
It was really awkward.
I once had a situation with my ex-boyfriend. He came home very drunk one evening and he got into bed and he started throwing up in the bed. And my first reaction was worry because I'd always heard that even in school, you know, when the people come in and they're like, if somebody starts throwing up, you need to put them in this position. You need to get the sick out of their throat, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like instant panic mode, instantly pretending I'm an ambulance driver.
Yeah.
But I sorted him out, and then obviously he was a mess, and I kind of like picked him up in my arms.
Aww.
And we had an upside down house, so the bedroom was downstairs, the bathroom was upstairs. So I start carrying him up the stairs to take him to the bathroom.
Aww.
And he starts throwing up all over my face.
Oh, no.
All over my body.
Aww.
Absolutely drenches me in vomit. And
nice.
When I tell this story, people are always like, that must have been the most disgusting experience of your life. And I was like, it really wasn't that bad. Like, I didn't... Obviously, it wasn't great. I wasn't thrilled to be covered in vomit. But I was just like, it's whatever. It's a bodily function. This
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I think it's very different if you love someone.
Yes.
If you feel such a great affection for them. Like, we change babies' nappies.
Oh, it's the same thing,
we
yeah.
we love them. And if your partner's vomiting on you, it's like... Oh, honey, it's all right. It's just a bit, you know, it's
fine.
It's just you. It's fine. I always say that I feel very much like my wife is just the other bit of me.
Oh,
thank you. So whatever she does or whatever she has, or it's just the same as me. Like if she needs to leave snotty tissues everywhere, of course I'm going to pick them up. It's just the same as if I'd lost snotty tissues everywhere.
Yeah. I
love
that.
There's no difference.
I love that. Well, I feel like here, Jessica, we've both done a little bit of confessing.
Oh, yeah.
So you see where this is going.
Sorry, Sarah. Again.
So we're going to have a little bit more music. And then after that, we're going to be reacting to your sex confessions. So if you want to send in any last minute confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And we'll be doing those very shortly. Very excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
All right, let's have a little bit more of the new Ariana Grande.
Right now I'm in a state of mind.
turning up. Yeah, we turning it up.
FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
We have here Honey G. We heard a rumour that you were actually releasing your own range of honey.
Actual honey we put on toast?
Yeah, I mean, it would be amazing to get it in, you know, supermarkets and that sort of thing.
You could be the new reggae sauce.
Oh yeah, man, the new Honey by Roots, Honey G honey.
You're going to have to come to my village where I live, because I live next to Sainsbury's.
What?
It's my village.
Oh, not just to Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's.
Oh, Sainsbury's.
Come round with your honey. Leave a pot for me.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I'll hand deliver it to you.
Every Thursday.
Access All Areas.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
It is our favourite part of the show. It is time for some sex confessions. So lots of our lovely, lovely listeners have been sending in their confessions. And Jessica and I are going to react to them. So thank you to everyone who sent them in. I will read the first one. I met a guy at a club. And we were both instantly attracted to each other and had an amazing time on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
A while into this, we started to chat, and I realised he didn't speak English. We ended up using Google Translate to communicate, and I took him home that night.
Go you.
I think that is absolutely amazing and lovely. And I think sometimes, this is going to sound really cheesy and really corny, but I think love, and not necessarily love, you know, sexual attraction as well, it really can kind of transcend that. And I think sometimes even if you don't have the tools to communicate, even if you don't have the language, you speak completely different languages, I feel like sometimes you're able to still connect with somebody and still have an amazing time with somebody. I've got a couple of examples of this, like myself. When I was working in the Swiss Alps, I was working with a team of French people. And all of them spoke English, except for one who only spoke French, and I only spoke English. And of all the people there, I became closer friends with the one who only spoke French than any of the others. And we couldn't have a conversation. We would just kind of, like, try and communicate with, like, our hands and, like, try and use the odd word that we knew. And the two of us would always be, like, rolling around laughing. And it was just a wonderful thing.
My best friend and I probably only understand each other 50% of the time because she's very Spanish and I'm very deaf. So we have a lot of miscommunications all the time, but that just makes it fun.
It adds to it in a kind of strange way. Yeah,
I think it's nice. I think we've all felt that pull of attraction when you meet someone the first time, and it's like this just string coming from your chest into theirs.
Absolutely.
And it does not matter what they say when they open their mouth, what language they speak. Maybe they can't even speak. Maybe they can't hear.
Yeah, people speak with their bodies.
Yeah.
They do, more than they realise, I think.
Yeah, attraction. Who cares what culture you were brought up in?
I once had I was in Germany once for one night. I was at Frankfurt Gay Pride. And while I was there, I met a lovely German guy who didn't speak any English. And I speak very, very little German. So we ended up going home together as well. And we hooked up. And the next morning, he took my number. And I'll never forget this for my whole life. He sent me a text after we kind of parted ways. And it just said three words. It just said, love the world. And to this day, I don't really know what he meant because that could have meant so many different things. But I was traveling at the time and I think he was saying, have an amazing experience, like experience everything you can, really enjoy this, really appreciate every place you travel to.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was trying to say.
I would read that as like, I love this world. I love how crazy it is that you can just meet someone and they're from a different place, but we happen to bump into each other on this one night, be in the same place and have a wonderful experience together.
And that too is an amazing like interpretation. I feel like you can interpret that so many different ways. And to me, that there's so much poetry in that. And this little miscommunication will literally stick with me forever.
That's so beautiful. You should put that on a t-shirt.
I just love the world on a t-shirt. I love
it. And then just wear it everywhere. Shine the light on people.
Well, thank you to the person who sent this in. I think Jessica and I are both in agreement that
that
sounds like a wonderful experience and good for you. I hope you had an amazing night.
Actually, I think this next one's hilarious.
Do you want to read it?
I keep going on dates with people who take me to Mexican restaurants. I hate Mexican restaurants. Why? Whatever happened to your classic Italian?
I love how angry. It's a lot of capital letters, a lot of exclamation marks.
So many exclamation marks. Well, first of all, I think the advice is you have to take the reins here. Mm. Why are you letting people dictate your dates?
Absolutely.
If you have specific preferences, you've got to say up front.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Like, I feel like there's a bit of fun in that. If I was going to take someone on a date and they were like, do not take me to a Mexican, I'd be like, why?
Well.
And they'd be like, well, I'm going to tell you why. And then you kind of bond over that.
Yeah, and then you go to a Brazilian restaurant.
Yeah, I do like a Brazilian. Mm. I really like a Brazilian. Maybe they don't like spice because Mexican's quite spicy.
That's true. French? Italian? Yeah, that's a bland. I only eat spicy foods.
So. Maybe this person should put in their dating profile, no Mexican restaurants.
I do have to say, if you're dating online, why is this not in your profile?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I love that it keeps happening as well. They do every single time.
Do you live near a lot of restaurants? Who knows?
All right, we've got a couple more. Okay, the next one. I've been in a serious relationship with my boyfriend for a few years now.
Ooh.
And I do love him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, there's a but
That's
coming.
That's never good. And I do love him.
However, here we go. I hate to admit this, but I have recently developed a major crush on his older brother. And I can't stop fantasizing. I know I want to stay with my boyfriend, but I feel guilty keeping this from him. I need to sort myself out. Well, Jessica, what's your advice in this situation?
Goodness. Well, first of all, I mean, he is your boyfriend's older brother, mm-hmm. so there's obviously some kind of familial relationship there. They maybe look quite similar or they act quite similar.
Absolutely.
Maybe what you're actually attracted to is your boyfriend, but a slightly more mature version.
That is an amazing way of looking at it. And I think there must be actually quite a lot of people who get into relationships and suddenly find, oh my gosh, I'm very attracted to your sibling. That only kind of makes sense because they're going to look similar.
Yeah, of course you're attracted. Siblings tend to be quite similar.
Like, yeah.
They look similar. Sometimes they act quite similar. It's quite all right. Don't panic.
You may disagree with me on this, Jessica, but I think maybe they should kind of tell their partner this, but tell them in a very, hey, look, I know this is really weird. I know that this is going to make it a little bit awkward, but I just wanted to be open and honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little bit of a crush on your brother.
Mm.
And I'm not going to act on it. And like, I don't want it. It's just there and I can't help it. But I just wanted to let you know because you're my partner and I want to get this off my chest. Don't hate me forever.
Sure, sure. But I would say...
Jessica disagrees.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't disagree with the telling. I just think maybe phrase it as take all the things that you find very attractive in the older brother, which are maybe quite similar to some of the things that your own boyfriend has, some of his characteristics and aspects. And be like, you know, recently I just found myself really looking at your older brother and seeing in him some of the traits that you have. Like, you're just so courageous. And you're always so courteous. And I just really appreciate what a big heart you both have. And it's so wonderful to have him as an example of how you will be when you're that age. I mean, it's really very attractive. You're going to be so attractive when you're that age.
Jessica, you need to be like a diplomat or like a relationship counselor or I don't know, but we need to put these skills to use.
Thank you.
Like, I feel like you could navigate any situation. I feel like you could solve all the world's problems.
I'll start a new YouTube series.
Yeah.
People can come to me with their problems.
I'm going to start messaging you with every little problem
I'm here for you. It's going to be all right.
I think your advice is literally spot on. Ignore my advice. Don't do what I said. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, if you want to stay with him, phrase it so you can stay with him.
Yeah, and honestly, doing it that way, I think it's going to come across as a compliment towards them rather than
exactly.
I don't know how I would feel if my partner said that they liked my older brother. I think. To be honest, I don't think I would really mind very much.
No.
But then it's never happened.
Oh.
So I'm not really speaking from experience. I'm just kind of guessing.
I only have a brother.
So you're not going to encounter that? Unless you're dating a bisexual.
Actually,
uh-oh.
I only have a brother and his girlfriend says I'm the more attractive one.
Well, it's clearly true.
But they've been together. Oh, thank you, thank you. They've been together 10 years now, so.
So yeah, and I'm sure that. So is the girlfriend of your brother? Is she a bisexual lady?
I have no idea.
Oh my god.
She just likes me.
It's a good job you're married, because there could be a whole home wrecking situation.
I'm off the market. I'm off the market. No, I think he takes it as quite a compliment to himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks quite like me, but with short hair.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, in my imagination, he is absolutely gorgeous, and I'm a little bit attracted to him. Feel free to pass that on if you would like. Okay, would you like to read the next one?
My boyfriend is thinking of going travelling alone for a few months. I don't think I'm okay with this, because I'm not sure if he'll break up with me before he goes or cheat while he's away. How should I tell him? Come on now.
Yeah, I mean,
if the lack of trust is already here, if he is behaving in such a way that makes you think, maybe he is just the type of scumbag who might cheat on me whilst away, I think we know it's not destined for the history books, is it, this relationship?
Yeah, I completely agree with Jessica.
Honey, it's time to move on. It's time to find someone who truly worships you for you.
Yeah.
None of this rubbish.
I don't think I can add to that. Mm-mm. I honestly don't think I can add that. Exactly what Jessica says. I don't think this is going to work out. There's a trust issue there. And we know. You know, if we're dating somebody who's going to cheat, we know.
Yeah.
It's we have like a sixth sense or something.
Bones.
We just know it's there. Every person I've ever suspected has always been.
Oh, you have a good nose.
I have a good nose for it.
Although, if you suspect, maybe you should learn to break up with them. Just saying.
Can't argue with that. Absolutely can't argue with that. I went to my first yoga class the other day. Ended up going home with the teacher. Would recommend to a friend.
Oh, very nice. I'm sure there are many interesting positions.
Yeah, like you can get really, really bendy. You know that nose breaker position?
No.
You know the one where it's like you kind of like hoist yourself up onto your palms and then like...
Right.
Because if you get it wrong, you fall
flat
on your face.
And break your nose.
I reckon you could have some fun with that.
Mm. I mean, I don't know that I want to add that level of danger to my sex life. I like my nose.
I like a little bit of danger. Like, controlled danger.
Not that I have danger that smashes your face, must say.
No face smashing.
Oh, this one's back to what we were talking about before.
Oh, no, here we go.
Oh, here we are.
This is our last one. Do you want to read this one as well?
I know my girlfriend cheated on me. She denied it completely, but I just know. There we go, see? Just know. She's not the type to forgive and forget. She's the type to do the same thing I did. It bothers me because in the end, at least I was honest that I did it, but she was not. I had to hear it from someone else.
What? I'm so confused. So they both cheated.
Right. So they both cheated, but only the person writing in admitted it. And the girlfriend has not admitted it, although we don't know for sure.
Ooh.
There's just the feeling.
See, I think the reason that cheating is so hurtful is not often the act itself, but it's the betrayal and the deception.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say to one of my exes, I was like, look, we're both human. If you ever go out and you get drunk or whatever, or you get carried away, like, obviously that's not going to be nice for me,
but
please just come and tell me. Please just come and be open about it. And please just say, look, I've made a mistake. I'm so sorry. And I will forgive you. And even though I said that, when he inevitably did cheat, did he tell me? No, he absolutely did not. And that's what's hurtful.
No. See, my wife and I have a policy that should anything one day happen like this, should she fall over and smush her lips against someone else, it doesn't matter if what we're both working towards is the unity of our relationship.
Beautiful.
So if you're both thinking that you're putting your togetherness first, does it matter? Is this whole retaliation backwards and forwards really a stable basis for your relationship?
Absolutely. Putting the world to rights again.
Thank you.
But what's our advice here? Because it seems like there's almost like this imbalance. Yes, they've both kind of, I don't know if betrayed is the right word. They've both made a mistake. And one of them has said, look, I've made a mistake and I want to fix this. And the other one is denying and hiding.
Yes, but potentially the other one has acted in a very vindictive manner.
Yes.
Which is slightly concerning as a character trait.
Yes.
I would say. But also, dear person who has written in, if you're the cheated first, I think we're getting.
I think so. I think so.
So, having done that, were you really that happy in your relationship?
Yeah, maybe the two of you aren't that happy.
Maybe it's time to move on.
Maybe.
And find someone else.
I think that is quite a possibility. I think we need to assess. I think we need to sit down and go, right, how do we really
feel
about this?
We need the full story here is what we need.
Right, quick. Email quick.
Okay, yes. Tell us everything.
Well, Jessica, I think you've given some... And I say you because all the great advice here has come from you, not from myself.
Thank you.
But yeah, you've given some incredible advice here. We've also had some lovely, lovely people tweet us in. Somebody tweeted in and said they're going to go and look up that Madonna video.
Yeah, it's called Dear Jessie. So enjoy.
So that's what Lupo59 said. Oh, the lovely What Wegan Did tweeted us and just said Bae's love struck emoji. They came on the show before and they were absolutely lovely
I
guests.
I love them.
They're good friends of yours.
They came to my birthday.
Oh, yeah. They're absolute sweethearts.
Gonna go on a dog walk soon.
And then finally, It's Matina 32 said, I love this woman. She has helped me so much and she's hot. There you go, Jessica.
And she's hot.
I feel like you've helped.
I will take that away.
I feel like you've helped me as well. And, and I agree that you're hot. So
you're very welcome. Thank you.
Jessica, you've been an amazing guest, but this brings us to the end of the show.
Oh, no, I've been having so much fun.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. If people want to follow you on YouTube, on social media, how do they do that?
They can do that by searching for either my name, which is Jessica Cargren-Fozard. Yeah. That's complicated.
Nobody can spell that.
Or you can search for Jessica Out of the Closet.
Much easier
to find.
See
why I do that? Yeah.
Much easier to find.
But on Twitter, it's @JessicaOOTC.
And everyone should absolutely go and follow you. I think you're amazing. I'm sure our listeners think you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You've been the best. Let's end the show with the final one of your choices.
All right.
A bit of Natalie Cole.
Ah.